All right, good. Let's put our phones away for 15 minutes. Okay. And we're going to read. We're finally back in Genesis after 2 weeks away. Maybe three. No, I think it's 2 weeks. But we. What did you say? Well, we're in Genesis.
Genesis 19 now.
No, we're in 21. We did Genesis 19. You weren't here.
Are you serious?
I think you missed it.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about it a little too. Yep. Baseball. Yeah, you missed a good one. So let me read. I'm going to read. Actually, I'm going to pray. We're going to pray so much today. Let me pray for us. Let me pray for us. God, we thank you for tonight. God, we ask that you would quiet our hearts, that you would help us to hear from you, to know that you are present here with us, and that that is not an ordinary thing. Help us not to take that for granted. But this is a special time where you are present and you are here. Help us to know how much you love us, and would that change us to be more like Jesus. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I'm going to read from Genesis 21, verses 1 through 7, okay? I know we haven't been in Genesis for a while, so just to recap, Abraham and Sarah, God promised to them that they were going to have a child, even though they were extremely, extremely old. They're like 100 years old at this point, and God has promised to them like years before that they're going to have a child, multiple times. He showed up to them and said, you're going to have a child. And like a bunch of different things have happened, but we'll talk about that in a second. And now finally, we're here where Sarah finally has this child that God promised that she would have. All right, so I'm just going to read 7 verses. Genesis 21, verses 1 through 7. The Lord came to Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, at the appointed time God had told him. Abraham named his son who was born to him, the one Sarah bore to him, Isaac. When his son Isaac was 8 days old, Abraham circumcised him, as God had commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Sarah said, God has made me laugh, and everyone who hears will laugh with me. She also said, who would have told Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne a son for him in his old age. Let's pray again. God, we thank you for this passage. We thank you that we finally see your promise fulfilled. This promise that we talked about 5 or 6 weeks ago as you showed up to Abraham and said that you would give him a son, and then a bunch of stuff happens in between, and it's messy and distracting, and then finally you show up here in Genesis 21, and you show us that you fulfill your promises, even in the midst of messiness and distractions. So we ask that you would just help us to clear the distractions even right now, and be able to dwell in your promises, and the truth of your promises, and the grace of your promises. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're going to do an exercise right now, okay? I know you guys probably like movies. You guys like movies. Maybe you like imagining movies or like writing movies in your head sometimes. So this is what I want everyone to do. Everyone is going to close their eyes, okay? And I'm going to describe a movie to you, okay? So imagine this movie that I'm describing to you, all right? Close your eyes if that will probably help. Okay, so there's this opening scene, okay? This camera comes in. And it like zooms in on this old couple that's like 80 years old, all right, around 80 years old.
Is it up?
No, it's not up. There's 80-year-old couple. No, and then keep your eyes closed and imagine this. God shows up to this couple, this voice speaking to them, okay? And this voice says, you're going to have a son. And they're 80 years old. Wow, that's crazy, right? And they're like, how are we going to have a son? They start like talking with each other. How are we going to have a son? And they don't know how this is going to happen. So what they do is Sarah, who's the wife of Abraham, has this servant. Has a servant. And Abraham and Sarah are like, all right, this is what we're going to do. Sarah says to Abraham, take my servant, Hagar, and have a son with her. That way, maybe that's how we're going to have a son. So Abraham has a son with this servant named Hagar. But a plot twist happens and Hagar runs away with the son because she's being treated poorly. And then God shows up to her in the wilderness as she's alone. Remember we talked about that probably four weeks ago. And then God shows up to Abraham again and he says, Abraham, that's not how it's going to happen. Sarah is going to have a son, not Hagar. Sarah, your wife, is going to have a son. Okay, so then the next scene, comes and God shows up to Abram and Sarah again, like halfway through the movie. All right, halfway through the movie, God shows up to them. And all of a sudden, it's just like this really weird thing that happened. God shows up and he changes their names. God's like, Abram, you're actually going to be called Abraham. And Sarah, you're going to be called Sarah. This really weird thing that happens, okay? And then again, God says, and you're going to have a son. This may be 10 years later. God's like, you're going to have a son. I know it's been 10 years, but still, you're going to have a son. I know it hasn't happened yet. And then they both laugh at God. And God's like, did you laugh at me? And Sarah says, no, I didn't laugh. And then God says, but you did. All right? And then all of a sudden, the movie takes a turn. The movie takes a turn. All right? So imagine complete plot twist. God shows up with two angels to Abraham's house. And he goes and he looks down on the city. And he sees just this total like evil city. And he says, I'm going to destroy that city. But Abraham's nephew lives in that city. Abraham's like, I don't want you to destroy the city because my nephew lives there. So God says, if there's 50 righteous people in the city, please don't destroy it. And there's this intense like bargaining scene in this movie. And God's like, okay, fine. If there's 50 righteous people, I won't destroy it. And Abraham says, how about 45? And God says, okay, 45, sure. And then Abraham says 40. And God says, okay. And there's like this music playing, this suspenseful music. And Abraham says 35. And then God says 35. All right. And then Abraham says 30. And God says, okay, 30. Sure, I won't destroy it for 30. And Abraham says, but what if there's 20 righteous people? And God says, sure, if there's 20, I won't destroy it. And God says, okay, God, let me speak one more time. What if there's just 10 righteous people out of the thousands of people in the city? If there's 10 righteous people, please don't destroy it. And God says, okay, Abraham, if I find 10 righteous people, I won't destroy the city. So God's two angels go down to the city, and they're looking at everything going on, and they can't even find 10 righteous people out of the thousands of righteous people. But in God's grace, the angels take Abraham's nephew, whose name is Lot. They take him out of the city. They rescue him and his daughters. They rescue them, and they flee, and the city just burns as they're running away. And then all of a sudden, and then Abraham and Lot have to find new places to live. Lot, his home is destroyed, so they have to find new places to live. So then Lot goes into the wilderness, and some really messy stuff happens. His daughters, he has two daughters, they take advantage of him, and it's really messy. And then Abraham goes to this new place, and he's traveling through this kingdom, and there's this king in this kingdom. And Abraham says to the king, this is Sarah, his wife. He says, this is Sarah, my sister. And we're like, what is going on, Abraham? Why are you telling the king that she's your sister? Because Abraham was scared that they were going to kill him so that they could have his wife. And so he lies to the king. And then God shows up to the king because the king takes Sarah. And God shows up to the king and says, this is another man's wife. You're going to die because of this. And the king says, I didn't know that. And then after figuring it all out, the king is like, Abraham, why did you lie to me? And then he gives Abraham his wife. He gives Abraham Sarah. And then he also gives Abraham a lot of just these presents and gifts. And God doesn't destroy the king. His name's Abimelech. All right, that's the king's name. And then finally, after all these crazy scenes, after all this messiness, after all these distractions, who remembers what happens in the opening scene of the movie that we're talking about? Yes, Jackie. Say it. Go ahead, Jackie. God shows up 15 years earlier, maybe, right? A good amount of years earlier. And in the opening scene, right, correct. And he says, you're going to have a son. And who even remembers that after all this? But finally, in Genesis 21, after all that craziness, after all those weird stories, all the bad stories, the scariness, a son is born, and his name is Isaac. Finally, this promise, after years and years of messiness and craziness and distractions, there's a son who's born, whose name is Isaac. And this promise, not Isaac Newton, this promise was unbelievable. It was an unbelievable promise, right? It was hard to believe because they were old. They were like 80, and then they were 90, and now they're 100 years old. And it's hard to believe. And it can easily be overlooked or forgotten because of everything that goes on in between, right? All those things that happened in between. And finally, the movie comes to a close, this closing scene, all right? Which I think, if you imagine it, it's pretty cool. It's Sarah, who's 100 years old. I don't know anyone currently who's 100 years old. That's pretty old, right? It comes with Sarah as she's holding her newborn baby. And then she's holding this baby, and she says this amazing monologue that kind of is in Genesis 21:7, but paraphrased, it's like this. Sarah says this. She's holding a baby, and the spotlight's just on her. She says, God made me laugh because she promised this baby would be born. I didn't believe him. No one actually really believed him. Sarah's saying this. People looked at Abraham and I with pity. They felt bad for us because we were childless. We didn't have a son. But look now, for I have borne a son in my old age. And then it just cuts black and the credits roll. Right? Like what? That would be a pretty crazy movie. So many plot twists. But that is literally what happens here in Genesis. God shows up with this promise chapters earlier, weeks earlier. Right? And then in the midst of all that, there's this messiness and craziness and distractions. And then all of a sudden, there's this moment where finally, years later, this promise is fulfilled. It's crazy. It's a whirlwind of a movie. And you know what? We started talking about this 6 weeks ago, right? And we started out with this promise that God made to Abraham and Sarah. But then we talked about all these other stories, right? Luke, you missed Genesis 19. You missed that week. But there's so many other crazy stories in between here. There's these crazy things happening. There's names changing. There's cities on fire, right? There's Hagar who runs away. But then, finally, in Genesis 21, we're reminded of God's promise because it's fulfilled in Isaac being born. And you know, I think when it's helpful to be reminded of this whole, we can read these chapters individually, but when we read them all together, when we're reminded of the whole story all together, it kind of reminds me a little bit of what life is like, right? God makes these amazing promises to you. He makes these promises to you and he says, I want to give you life. I want to make you whole. I want to love you forever. He makes these promises. He says, I'm going to give you life. I'm going to make you whole. I'm going to love you forever, even at your worst. But we can easily forget these promises in the midst of these distractions and the craziness and messiness in between that is our life, right? And there's kind of two reasons that I kind of see, okay, that these promises are easy to forget, okay? One is because these promises that God makes to us, this promise that God made to Abraham and Sarah was hard to believe, and the same is true to us. God makes promises to us that are hard to believe because when we look around in our world, we see kind of the opposite of what God promises us, right? God promises us life and wholeness, but we look around and we see a lot of pain and brokenness and even death, right? We look around and we see suffering and we wonder if God really does give life. If that is really a promise that he cares about. Or we see our own pain and we see our own hurt and brokenness and we see our own shame. We see our own sin and we wonder, is God really making me more whole? Is God really making me more like Jesus? Or am I just becoming kind of a worse person? Right? God promises to make us whole, but that's not always the reality in our lives. Right? Even just think about like, and Paul says in the New Testament, like, why do I keep on doing the things that I don't want to do? That's our experience too, right? There's habits that we can't kick. There's things that we can't get rid of that we're ashamed of. But God promises to make us whole. So it makes it hard to believe that God promises that when we live this life. Or you feel unlovable or unworthy of love, right? You're just like no one cares about you. Even in those small moments where you just feel alone and like no one cares about you, it's easy to wonder if God really does love us and is going to love us forever. God's promises are easy to forget because they're hard to believe. In our own lives, in our own experiences, and in Sarah, in Abraham's experience, right? But also, God's promises are easy to forget because we're distracted. We are so distracted, right? God makes promises to us, these really amazing promises to us, but there's so many other things that are going on in our lives between those promises. Like, God makes his promises to us, but he says he's going to give us life. He's going to make us whole. He says he's going to love us forever. But how many tests did you have this week, right? Maybe 1, 2, 3. How many tests do you have next week? 5 tests. You got 5 tests, right? And then you have practice every day after school, right? And you got schoolwork and you got chores to do. You have friends to hang out with. Maybe you got a trip to plan for. Maybe you have gift cards to spend. You got people to see, right? Or maybe you have a job, right? Or you have relationships. You got a crush on someone and your life just kind of revolves around them, right? All these things make our life... All these things make our life so busy. And all these things can easily distract us from God's promises for us because we have so much other stuff going on. Just like Abraham and Sarah, God made this promise to them. But then Hagar runs away. And then their names are changed. And then the city burns, right? And then Abraham's worried about his nephew, right? All these things happen and they're distracted. And it's so easy to forget God's promises because they're distracted. And the same is true for us. It's so easy to forget God's promises because we're distracted. Right, God makes amazing, amazing promises to us that are hard to believe because of our circumstances, and they're easy to forget because we're distracted. But the most amazing thing, as we look at this passage, the most amazing thing is that we can see a little bit of who God is in these passages. Just like with Abraham and Sarah, the promise wasn't up to them to fulfill, right? They tried to fulfill it by having Abraham have a son with Hagar. And that's not, God was like, no, that's not how it's going to happen. I'm going to fulfill this promise. It wasn't up to them. Isaac was going to be born no matter the circumstances or distractions. The amazing thing that these passages show us as we read them all together is that God's promises aren't up to us to fulfill, but they're up to him. And God fulfills his promises in Jesus, who is actually alive. He's actually alive right now with us, with you. That's how God fulfills his promises. In the midst of our broken world, of our messy lives, of our shame, of our pain, of our sin, God gives us Jesus, who defeats death and pain and suffering. By raising him from the dead, right? Jesus died, but then he rose from the grave. That is Jesus defeating death, putting death to death. Saying death and sin aren't going to have the final word over our lives. We can look back at that and remember God's promises and see how they're fulfilled in that. But also, it's not just that we can look back, but also God, like I said before, Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive right now. And he's actually living inside of those who trust him by the Holy Spirit. It's not just that we get to look back, but actually we can look now, right now at this moment, right now, as you're sitting here, and you can see the Holy Spirit, who is also God's promise fulfilled to us. In the midst of our busy lives, God gives us the Holy Spirit. It's actually Jesus living inside of us at all times, living inside of you during your tests or during your sports practices, during your chores or friendships or relationships or schoolwork, right? Your vacations, your plans, your shopping, your jobs. During all those things, Jesus is alive and with you in all those things. You can't out-busy Jesus. You can't run so fast or be so busy that the Holy Spirit leaves you or that Jesus leaves you. But Jesus is with you in the midst of those things. And that is another way that God fulfills these promises, is by not leaving us just with this promise that's in the past of looking at Jesus on the cross and him defeating death, but by actually Jesus living inside of us right now. So God's amazing promise to you of life and wholeness and of a forever kind of love, a perfect love, is fulfilled in the midst of our brokenness and our busyness and our messiness in Jesus, as we look back to him, but also as he is alive right now with us. So to end, I want to imagine one more movie. Okay, close your eyes one more time. This is not a movie that you've seen before. Okay? I want you to imagine your life as a movie. Okay? Imagine, you don't remember this, but imagine, you know, you're a baby. Okay? You're a baby. God shows up to you wherever you are as a baby. Maybe in your home. Maybe your mom's holding you or someone's holding you. Maybe you're in a little crib or bed or something. And God shows up and God makes these amazing promises to you as a baby, before you can even understand or hear these promises. And God says to you, I desire good for you. I want wholeness for you. I want to love you forever. I want to give you life, everlasting life. God makes these promises to you as a baby, okay? To be loved forever, all these amazing things. And now I want you to imagine growing up a little bit, okay? All those things that have happened between now, from when you were 0 to whatever age you are now, all right? Think of those significant moments in your life that would make a movie. Like, if there's a movie written about your life, imagine those moments. You know, maybe they're the really good moments, the ones where, you won something or you got celebrated or you had a great birthday. But also imagine those moments that were tough and hard, where you felt scared or where you felt so ashamed of something that you did wrong. Think of all those moments, all the messiness, all the distractions that happen in between, right? Distractions can be good or bad. Good things or bad things, right? And all these things that happened in between, from when you were 0 and God made these promises to you, and then to now, they can maybe make those promises hard to believe, or maybe they can easily distract you from those promises, right? But now, imagine the end of the movie, okay? This is the end of the movie, which is really just a new beginning, okay? It's kind of like a cliffhanger, in a sense. But the end of the movie ends wherever you are, because it's not up to you to fulfill those promises that God made to you. The end of the movie ends with you whole, with you having life and life to the full, abundant life, like Jesus says, with you being loved forever, held in God's arms. That's the end of the movie. And really, like I said, it's just a new beginning. It's a cliffhanger because it's actually new life and abundant life that you get. This is the promise. You can open your eyes now if you want. But imagine that movie about your life. This is the promise that God makes to you. This is the point I'm trying to make. God makes these promises to you, and they're not up to you. That is who God is. They're not up to you to fulfill, but they're up to him. God says, I'm going to love you forever, Damien. That's what God says to you. And he says to you, Jordan, I want abundant life for you.
Oh, no.
I want whole life. And Gabby, the same's for you. Yeah. God says these things to each and every one of you. And even though there's distractions and messiness and things that maybe make it hard to believe these promises, it's not up to you, it's up to God, because that is who God is. He is the fulfiller of promises in Jesus. All right, let's pray. God, we thank you that, we thank you of just your immense love for us, of your greatness. Even just as we sit here and we reflect on our lives and we think about all the things that have happened in our lives, the good things, the things that we're proud of, the things that we get to celebrate, but also the things that we're ashamed of, the things that have brought us the most pain, the things that hurt us and really make it hard to believe that you really want to love us forever, that you really do love us even right now, the things that distract us. God, we thank you. We really, really thank you that it's not up to us to fulfill these promises that you've made to us. But it's up to you. And we know that we trust that you are good enough, that you are great enough, that you are powerful enough, that you are gracious enough to fulfill these promises, just like you did to Abraham and Sarah. Even years later, you fulfill your promises, your good promises, your amazing and perfect promises to us. We thank you that you are who you are. Help us to trust you and lean into that more and more. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.